time, we're going to open God's Word and read out of the book of Hebrews. As you are probably aware, Marcus last week began a new series in the book of Hebrews. We are going to continue that by actually, and then starting in chapter 1, as you can see above. Please stand for the reading of God's Word if you're able. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he spoke to us by his Son. This is God's word.
Good morning, Wieland. Spring is on the air, or spring is in the air, right? The grass is getting greener. Well, in the words of the book of Hebrews, the author of Hebrews, let us consider to stir up one another on the love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Hebrews 10. 24 through 25. Church, we gather here this morning, not just to hear from God's word, but to also hear from one another. By gathering here this morning, we encourage one another that God speaks today by his Son. If you're new or visiting with us today, welcome in the name and grace of Christ. We're so thankful that you're here. My name is Mark. I'm one of the pastors here at Wheatland. And if you need to use a Bible, there is one underneath your seat. You can borrow that. If you would like a free Bible, you can grab one in the foyer. Or if you prefer to use your device, we use the English Standard Version. Last week, we learned why we need the book of Hebrews. Anyone remember? Jesus is better. Jesus is superior and supreme over everything. I hope you were convinced. I know I was, but if you weren't, we're going to be in the book of Hebrews for a long time. So hopefully as we go through this book, God will continue to enlarge our heart to see that Jesus is better. So what is the point of the book of Hebrews? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. He doesn't hide it. He lets us know right away. Chapter 8, verses 1 through 2. Now the point in what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places, in the true tent that the Lord set up, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Thus, it is necessary for this priest also to have something to offer. This is why our series is called Our Perfect Priest for Weary People. He's the final priest. He's the final sacrifice. And because of Christ, God speaks today. Let us pray and ask the Lord to speak to us now through his word, by his Spirit. We praise you and thank you that you are a God who speaks. You have spoken the world into existence. You have spoken through the prophets, instruments of your sovereign purposes, unfolding your plan of redemption. Thank you, all wise and all loving God, that you speak by your Son, the living Word. Help us, Lord, now. Give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see. Give us minds to comprehend. And give us faith and humility to receive. Your word says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Lord Jesus, continue to show us that Jesus is supreme over everything. And may you enlarge our hearts to live like Jesus is supreme over every detail of our lives, over all the cares that we bring into this place today, this morning. And that by the Holy Spirit, you would transform our lives. And Lord, I ask that you please would be so gracious and kind to give me wisdom, to give me strength, to give me clarity and humility to be true to your word and be faithful to your people. In the glorious name of Jesus, by the power of your Spirit, I pray, and all God's people said, amen. All of us this morning, whether you know Christ or not, at some level, we are asking the question, did God really say? Did he really say? This was the lie that, this is the lie that each of our hearts believe in. Why? Because since the beginning, when our first parents believed in that lie, that same lie, did God really say? But there's a progression to this lie. From did God really say to does God really speak? To does God really care? This morning, we will learn that we have a God who speaks and has spoken by his Son, and he is deeply involved in our lives. The big idea of this passage this morning is simply, we have a speaking God. That's it. He has spoken. Now remember the audience of Hebrews, Jewish Christians who are weary. They are tired of being persecuted for their faith. They are on the verge of giving up and returning to their old way of life, and they desperately need God's grace to endure. Look with me there in chapter 10. Verses 32 and 34. Chapter 10, verses 32 and 34. But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. And then it goes on, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. And so the author of Hebrews wastes no time at all letting us know that our God speaks today. I've broken the text up into 2 points. The way God spoke in the past, verse 1, and then we'll get to the way God spoke, the way God speaks in the present, verse 2. Look with me there in verse 1. Long ago, it says, from the very beginning, what did God do in the beginning? He spoke. He said in Genesis 1, verse 3, and God said, let there be what? Light. And there was light. And what is the refrain throughout Genesis 1? And God said, what? God said. And God said. And God said. And God said. His speaking shows that he is intimately involved in his creation. Christianity is not like deism, where whatever God is behind that deistic point of view, where God sets the world in place and then he leaves it, he's no longer involved in it, and he lets it destroy itself. That's not Christianity. God is intimately involved in his creation. He is separate from his creation, yet deeply involved in it, as we will see here. Our God speaks. He has always spoken. So who has he spoken to? Look with me there and again in the verse. It says, our fathers. This refers to more than just Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David and so on. This refers to all those who God spoke to specifically, speaking about Israel, the people of God. Yet the emphasis is not on the when, but the way. The how God spoke. Did you notice there the phrase, in many times and in many ways, God spoke? God, in his glorious and grand, diverse way, spoke to various people, at times directly, and other times through intermediaries. He spoke to Abraham many times, first calling him out from the city of Ur, Genesis 12, 2 through 3. And I will make of you, he said, a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a what? Blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. From the very beginning, it wasn't just to be Israel. It was to be the nations. We have a speaking God. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 through 15, God spoke to who? Moses in the burning bush, saying, tell them I am has sent me to you. The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the Lord spoke to Moses. God spoke to David and promised him that from his family would come a forever son who would rule a forever kingdom. 2 Samuel 7. Church, we have a speaking God. God spoke in thunderous and terrifying ways through lightning and fire on top of Mount Sinai. And the people thought that they would die when they heard God speaking, if they kept listening to his voice. They begged Moses to speak on their behalf. In Deuteronomy 5, 24 through 27, we can see this. We have a speaking God. And yet God can also speak in the sound of a low whisper. That still, small voice to the prophet Elijah in 1 Kings 19, 11 through 12. And he said, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And he began to speak gently to Elijah, who was scared out of his wits. In the Old Testament, God spoke not only to certain people, but through certain people. God spoke, see it again in the verse today, by the prophets. In Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah 53:12, we learn that God spoke about the promised suffering servant to come by whose wounds we would be healed. In Jeremiah 31:31 through 34, we see the promise of a new covenant that our sins will be remembered no more. In Ezekiel 36:26, we see the promise of a new heart and a new spirit. God removing our hearts of stone and giving us a new heart and a new spirit. In Daniel 7:13, the promise of the Son of Man, whose kingdom will not be destroyed, and the promise of resurrection life to come in Daniel 12. Do you see that God has always been speaking? In Micah 5:2, we have the promise of a shepherd king to come from Bethlehem. In Zechariah 9:9 is the promise of a humble king who is righteous and will bring salvation, who will speak peace to the nations and rule from sea to sea. Church, we have a speaking God. Now you might say, great, thanks for sharing that. You're just showing me that God used human authors to communicate to us. So how do we know that they can be trusted? Well, turn with me to 2 Peter 1, 21 in your Bibles. 2 Peter. Chapter 1. Verse 21. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. See that? But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. We talked about this last week. God's word is God-breathed. It's inspired. With all the diverse ways that God has spoken, The Bible, though, also has a unified message. Over 40 different authors. Did you know that? That the Bible has over 40 different human authors. 66 books written over 1,300 years. And they all are saying the same thing in some form or fashion, pointing us to the one who brings all these diverse ways of God speaking to its completion, to its fulfillment in the Son. This leads to our second point. The way God speaks in the present. Look with me there at verse 2. But in these last days, that word last days, that phrase there is the age that began with Jesus' first coming and will come to completion when he returns for his second coming. Church, this means we live in an age of urgency. The last period of time before Christ will return, however long that will be. Only God knows. But we know that he does not see time like we do. But we know he is returning because of Acts chapter 1, verse 11, to name a few places. Michael Kruger gives us some more insight on this phrase, last days. The language of this verse means that we live in a very privileged time. This should give us a sense of urgency. Our author is saying, all those promises the Israelites have been waiting for over thousands of years, all those things you've been longing for God to do have been completed in Christ. Now you are living in the last times, he goes on. And so this is not a time to put our feet up, but to spread the gospel faithfully. This morning, you should have all received a little booklet in your hands. Did you get that booklet? Yeah. Church, we live in the last days, not the last times. We live in the last days where the gospel is being proclaimed, where on this side of heaven, people can hear. People can respond to the gospel, and people can believe in the gospel. That little tract explains it, the gospel, in a way that helps people that maybe don't understand who Christ is, maybe don't even understand, well, why do Christians even celebrate Easter? That little tract will help you as you give it to friends who don't know Christ or neighbors who don't know Christ. I want to encourage you to invite them for Easter Sunday as well. But also just invite them out to coffee. Tell them about Jesus. Open up his word. And believe that God speaks. Why? Why do we want to spread the gospel faithfully? Because God has spoken to us, look with me there in the text, by his Son. The original language says, in Son, emphasizing the finality of the way God speaks. Jesus is God's final word. God revealed himself at times and in many ways, but now God has revealed himself in one final way. Jesus. Jesus, who is the living Word, God who became flesh and dwelt among us. John chapter 1, verse 14, God himself stepped into our broken, sin-saturated world to rescue us from God's wrath and from ourselves. Church, he is the one promised in Isaiah 53:5, who has brought us peace, and by his wounds we are healed. He is the one that fulfills a new covenant from Jeremiah 31:31-34, who takes away our sins, and our sins are remembered no more. He is the one who is promised in 2 Samuel 7, the forever king who will rule a forever kingdom, even if it doesn't look like it right now. Church, what God promised in the Old Testament finds its fulfillment in Jesus. This is why Paul can say, for all the promises of God find their yes in him, in Jesus. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory, Paul goes on to say. Notice, did you notice the personal touch by our author? It says here, God has spoken to us by his Son. To us. This is good news. This is good news for not only the audience in Hebrews, but for us too. Jesus is God's final and complete revelation of himself to us. Jesus said, if you have seen me, what? You've seen the Father. John 14:9. Jesus said, believe in God and you will what? Believe also in me. John 14:1. When my son was around 9 years old or so, 9, 10 years old, and we were getting ready to put him to bed, he would say, Mom, Dad, I want to see God. I want to hear from him. I want to hear his voice. I ask him, God, will you speak to me? But I don't hear his voice. And my response to him, and he would say this not once, not twice, but repeatedly, right, babe? Yeah. He would say it repeatedly. And every time I would answer him, are you opening up God's word? Are you opening up God's word? Are you asking him to open up your eyes? That's when you're going to see him, son. That's when you're going to hear him. That's when you're going to be able to distinguish, right, of whether or not that small, still voice inside of you, the Holy Spirit speaking to you, lines up with God's word. If we're not in God's word, then we won't hear God speaking to us through his word, by his Spirit. Maybe you're here today and you desperately need to see God. You want to hear him. But the cares of this world, are crowding God's voice out. Let me encourage you, church, to once again open God's word and ask him to speak to you. If you're in the fire right now, let me encourage you to open to the book of Psalms and let those Psalms fashion and form your prayer life and your cry out to God, and be reminded that Jesus also cried out to God, not your will be done, not my will be done, but yours, right? God speaks, but we live in a very distracted world where we can stream everything, where we get 24/7 news. God speaks. But I have to ask myself the question, am I listening? Am I hearing him? I'm not going to hear him through the news. It ain't going to happen. I'm not going to hear him through my entertainment. I'm not going to hear him through listening, unless I'm listening to worship songs to remind me that God speaks today through his son. Listen. Ask the Lord. Pray to him. Lord, show me who you are. If you don't know him, I would encourage you to pray that prayer. Show me who you are. Show me your character. Show me your faithfulness. Show me your love for me. Show me Jesus. And he will show you. He loves prayers like that. Hear from God's word and how he speaks. Hebrews 9, 26 through 28. Turn with me there in your Bibles, and we'll end with this. Hebrews 9. Let's start in verse 24. For Christ has entered, not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, not to appear in the presence of God. Now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood, not his own. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, there is no reincarnation. If you're here today and you believe in reincarnation, we die and then we face judgment. We will either bow the knee and worship to him, or we will be forced to bow the knee. Verse 28, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Pray with me. Lord, thank you that you speak today, that you are faithful, that you are loving, that you are pure, that you are holy, that you are gracious and you are kind. Thank you that no matter what we are going through, no matter what cares that we are carrying, no matter what distractions that we have allowed into our lives, Lord, you speak today by your Son. Lord, help us to be listening. Turn our hearts to you once again. And help us, Lord, to see Jesus afresh. May your word burn within us as we read it, that we would desire, Lord, to share with others who don't believe you speak. Thank you, Lord, for those that seek you earnestly. You reward. And our reward is you. As we sang earlier, Lord, our prize is you. So humble us, Lord, I pray. Speak to us. Thank you, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen. Here at Wheatland, we like to end our time with God's word. This is a benediction, a word of blessing. I know a lot was shared this morning. I hope that if you have any questions, I'd be more than willing to answer them, or any of us on the elder team would be willing to answer any questions that you might have. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for gathering as God's church. So good to hear on Hymnal Sunday less instruments, but more of the singing. Do you realize that when we're singing those hymns, we're reminding ourselves that God speaks. He's speaking to us, encouraging us, and loving us. This word of blessing comes from Romans chapter 11, starting in verse 33. Again, if you are comfortable in putting your hands out to receive it as a posture of wanting to receive it, but if you are not comfortable with that, it's okay. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are your judgments. How inscrutable are your ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. And all God's people said, Amen. Love you, church. You're dismissed.